My position is actually hilarious that it does exist. These databases are so big, it's not scalable. Like, you need help. That's just what it's there for. It'd be impossible for someone to talk to all those leads every day. If you're having a speed delete, like if you're having a text and an email go out, someone needs to be there. I mean, I believe that anybody that you have a conversation with and that you believe that you're going to nurture them, if you're an agent, you should never go more than 30 days without some form of communication from you. Whether it's just an email, like a text message, a phone call, it shouldn't ever be a little more than that.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Reside Platform Podcast. We've got a special treat for you guys today. Very own friend, fellow lead geek, so you know I'm excited, Travis Halverson. Travis, what's going on?
Oh, man, not much. Just another day in all the databases. So,
Really quick, just tell people, like, your job, your career, your specialty, what you do every day.
I'm an ISA. I've been an ISA for like 7 years. I love it. It's my favorite thing to do. It's all I've ever done. I've never sold a house before, and I always tell people that whenever I get on a call with them. I've only ever been walked through one house, and that was the house I bought. So I don't know what agents go through every day. I just know what I go through every day. So. Yeah, that's about it, man. I mean, really, though, it's like comes down to just teeing up opportunities to agents. I love it. It's my passion for sure. My one thing.
That's awesome. And the reason why I think you have such good perspective that I value, obviously, you know, you work with Reside and you work with the CHEPLAC whole ecosystem and Easy Home Search with Preston and DCM and all of the stuff you guys got, which is all great. But you really just look at a lot of friggin' leads.
It's my favorite thing, man. It's
so fun. You look at a lot. And I look at a lot for my scale, but not as many as you. So that's why I love talking to you. And I'm so excited to do this episode, because this is for the lead geeks out there. You guys buying, generating leads, specifically real estate leads in this context. Right? I mean, to be real specific, that's our audience anyways.
Wanting to break into the mortgage, though, that would be fun.
Yeah, I mean, we get those leads.
Generating leads for you? Like, generating leads just directly for mortgage?
Generate mortgage appointments with our buyer leads, yeah.
That's sweet. No, me and Preston were talking about that the other day, and that's just... I just love generating... Like, he loves that whole side of generating it, like... I just always love what to do with once you get it and like see what happens years down the road and like see all the databases and how they become like massive, just buckets and ponds of different leads in different places from different locations and sources.
Yeah, dude. So like the average team that you see, and I know that this is actually a silly question because I know you got some really big teams now. We don't need to say names, but the average team that you see, how many leads do they have?
Probably about 20 to 25,000 leads total. Like once you start to like chop it up and like good phone number, good email that aren't like real estate agents or vendors, probably roughly around like 15 to 16,000.
Okay. So there's like maybe 20% that are just crap.
Yeah.
Crap. Between being agents and having bad phone numbers or bad emails. And I can attest to this for all the listeners and viewers, because just an hour ago on Follow Boss, I went through my general lead pond and took out about 6,000 bad phone numbers.
People don't think about that, though. Like, it's crazy. Yeah. To think of people are like, oh, I got this massive database of leads that they've just accumulated from over the years, like expired, FSBOs, all those things. And they're like, oh, it's huge. It's good. And they go in and like phone is good. Email is good. And it's like, cut in half. I'm like, okay,
this is what, yeah, exactly,
we work with. All right.
Yeah. So the average, so you see most teams you work with, and that sounds about right from the teams that I work with too in coaching and Reside, there's about 15,000 20,000 leads that they're working.
Yeah.
And then how do you see most, like, what do you see the best way is to like break up those leads for like agents and team leaders?
Honestly, I mean, right now, like the best way that I've seen work, obviously, with like, I mean, being a part of Zyde and like working with teams like Chris Snow and stuff, and like the people that are really crushing like PvP leagues, like this, they're doing it based off like creation date and then whether or not they have an address or not, like they're a seller. Like if you can easily identify if it's a buyer or a seller, it's always good to like segment those out. But really coming down to like creation date, leads that have been generated within the last 7 to 10 days, keeping those in one specific location to be worked pretty heavily until they realize that they're not going to pick up or they're not going to answer, then moving them farther out to let new leads come into the system in a sense. So it's one of those ways I see a lot of people do.
So, and that's what they, what does Chris call it? A money pond or something?
Yeah, the money time pond.
And we actually did a podcast episode with Chris on that that you can find if you go back in the history of the Reside Firefly podcast. So there you go. Plug number one. Get to plug ourselves. So you see it best because many teams don't have ISAs. Many teams, the leads are going directly to the agents, as they should. That's part of the job.
Yeah. My position should not exist. I just talked to Matt Smith about this. My position is actually hilarious that it does exist because realistically, people are registering to talk to real estate agents, not registering to talk to the team assistant. They're not registering to talk to an ISA. Problem is these databases are so big, it's not scalable. Like you need help. That's just what it's there for. So it'd be impossible for someone to talk to all those leads every day.
The unfortunate other side of that, and I agree with you, is that many people get licensed not expecting to be phone salespeople. That wasn't part of it. And there's many agents that don't need to do it that way. And if that's you, great. But that's not me. Like I have a lead. And a bunch of bad phone numbers too, and a big archive fund, even more. So leads come in. Stay with the agents so that they can access it for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Are you guys throwing like an audit, like first to claim everyone gets notified about the lead or?
The way that they've been doing it and like the way it's really successful is just not even notifying them, just the hungry agents go into the pond that have access to the pond and like they throw it into a pond automatically and then they just like agents will sign up for like a shift and work it that way. And I think it's really good because I've seen it done round robin. I've seen it done first to claim. But if there's any level of accountability on the team, like at the end of the day, those leads should just end up getting thrown back into the pond again when they're not worked after 14 to 30 days. You know what I mean? It's like, it's just such a fail to send it directly to someone to not give anybody else a chance. You know what I mean? I feel like it's a waste of money sometimes.
Any automation, any text automation coming in when a new lead comes in or nothing?
Yeah, I mean, I've always been the mindset of speed to lead. But the thing is if you're having a speed to lead, like if you're having a text and an email go out, someone needs to be there to answer it. Like someone's
agreed
on. So speed to response for sure. Like maybe someone needs to be able to like, hey, they like, I want a text message or I want a phone call. And then 12 hours later, they finally get a phone call and it's like, okay, well, yeah. Me and Preston are doing the math and like, I mean, you can look up all those different numbers, like what the percentage it is when someone doesn't get answered within the first 5 minutes or whatever, it's like decreased by like 400% or such a thing. But it's like, it's just funny to me because like you see all these leads coming into the system and it's like some people want to text, some people want to call, some people just want to talk through email. It's like, that's what I always believe is give it up to them and let them decide.
So automated text. Dude, there used to be this software called Five Street back in the day. I don't know if you heard of it or not, but Five Street was an automated texting back through and Realtor.com bought it. And that was the OG. I don't think you have any idea about Five Street. Look it up. They might still be around.
I got to look that up back. Street.
So send the text. What kind of email goes out? You're looking it up right now.
I am looking it up right now. Yeah, career database, Dan. Five Street consolidates leads.
Yeah.
Now it's something completely different, it looks like.
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny. No, that's cool. No, I always usually have my emails match my text messages sometimes. You know what I mean? That like refers back to the phone number that we texted them from. So like just kind of I try to close the loop. So it's like if they looked at the email, they're like, oh shoot, did I receive a text from that person? Or I think sometimes with like iPhones and like Android software will sync. So if they realize that they got an email and it has that phone number referring to it, usually it can pick up. I mean, I don't know, like technology nowadays is kind of crazy. So it's like the whole baby. maybe first name, maybe first last name. You know what I mean? Like some of that stuff, it all loops together. So
that's very interesting, Travis. I've never thought about that.
Yeah. So I always want to like refer the person. Like if I send them an email, it's like, hey, be on the lookout. I was just sending you a text message probably from this phone number.
So yeah, that's great. Wow. I just learned something really maybe kind of speechless. So, hey, so the agent gets the lead from one of these pawns. Are they talk to him from the pond? Take the lead, work it. When they quit working it, like what's the cadence to work it? What's the expectation?
So you can't take a lead out of a system unless you make a good communication. Like you have a good conversation and you're going to nurture that lead. Like I believe it's like a full-on conversation is what you need to have with the lead to lasting 2 minutes or more. We're going multiple levels deep via text or email. But then you still, I mean, I believe that anybody that you have a conversation with and that you believe that you're going to nurture them, if you're an agent, should never go more than 30 days without some form of communication from you. Yep. Whether it's just an email, like a text message, a phone call, it shouldn't ever be more than that. But if it's like a lead that you're moving into an actual stage, like what, like showing homes, writing offers, crazy stuff like that, should be 7 days, 14 days. You know what I mean? It can break down the cadence more and more, which we talk about all the time. So
yes.
Yeah. It's one of those things. Yeah.
Yeah. It ain't rocket science. However, then what we see and why Travis exists and why his great company like DCM kind of exists too is because there's a breakdown there.
Yeah, for sure. No, there's right? A massive breakdown.
Yeah. So what, give me some statistics. Give me some numbers about the breakdown because I am dying to know. I'm sure lots of the listeners of yours are too.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's the breakdowns of like the case studies that will go out and show you of like how many leads, like for instance, like, I mean, PPC leads, top of funnel leads, like how long they exist in your database before they actually get converted, right? Like some of the things of like, I read that there was one that 3,000 transactions for this team and it was, I think 1,800 came after 5 months or more of follow-up. Like that right there to me is exactly why agents can't really do the bandwidth of that much follow-up. Like how often do agents just drop off leads after 14 or 15 days of no communication? How often do they go back to Zillow, go back to Realtor? They go back to somewhere where they came from, you know what I mean? And they're going off with another agent sometimes. So it's pretty crazy to think, but I mean, if I look at all my statistics, every PPC lead that I've ever closed came after 13 months in the database before I ever even set an appointment with them, then 53 days from the time I set an appointment for the time I went to contract, and then like 30 days to close usually is what it came down to. But like, that just goes to show you that's all of my PPC leads I've ever closed in the last like 3 years.
Right. So the lead comes in and in your case, let's break this down because it's got me thinking. A lead comes in, he goes to a money time pond.
Yep.
And get a hardworking agent, maybe overworked agent who's doing their best, grabs the lead.
Yep.
Has their best intention and the lead falls off. Agent gets too busy, new leads, new stuff. Maybe the agent leaves the team, right? And the lead ends up back in the pot.
Yep. Or some admin account that doesn't realize it was ever sent to them.
Right. And then that admin account is Sunny Agrawal in my follow-up boss. And I told Joe Bonquin to fix it earlier. I was like, why do I have these leads, bro? Come on. It happened to me today. Two things we talked about happened to me today. That's kind of crazy. So then you get it because the follow-up, so it ends up in the pond.
Yeah,
because follow-up didn't happen for whatever reason.
Yep.
No bad intentional reason, right? Yep. And then tell me what happens next. Tell me why you grab it, because they hit a priority alert or just because you're going to go through and make sure you talk to everybody.
So there's always there's two ways to really do it. So like if, for instance, you're obviously, if it's on an IDX of some sort, like then hopefully it comes back based off of last visit. And usually I have people structure how they're going to follow up with the lead based off of last visit. And then even checking, now I'm starting to check visits too, to make sure that's even one of those things to check.
Sounds like you've been talking to Preston.
Right. It was actually really funny because I was on a call with one of our clients with a bigger database, and I just made me think about clicking it, and I saw, and I was like, wow, this person just visited your website literally 14 minutes ago, visited your website 143 times, and the last time you talked to it was 6 months ago, and it's in your pond. And it's just in like an unresponsive stage. How to get phone number, how to get email, how to everything. And it just, I don't know, it just gets missed very easily. You know what I mean?
Oh, but so let's just say, so yeah, there's a lead of the pond that gets in there. You get notified that a new lead's in the pond, right? You have some kind of notification out of the pond.
It depends. If it's a big team, I don't have notifications turned on because that's a lot of leads going in. We just assume that if it's been thrown in the database and we go based off the last visit, we see everything. So we have it set usually to view all ponds. So no matter where it's at, if it ever gets thrown anywhere, it's going to hit one. It's going to hit wherever I train the DCM to look.
So you're going to go view all ponds and then go to last visit, last communication, last text, last all that. And what about everybody that has none of that? And you prepared to get called every month to
if there's no rhyme or rhythm or it's a brand new database that's never been touched before, we usually, like I said, what we'll do is we'll probably, depending on what system they have, like whatever IDX they're on, if there's a way to put them back on listing alerts, we'll probably just put them on a generic listing alert. So like, for instance, if you have certain IDXs, you can upload a list of thousands of people in the database to a generic listing alert in your location and just structure it that way and hit those people when they start coming back to the website. And just do it that way, or you just start going through and adding them on generic listing awards. So you're hitting it by kind of burning it from both ends. Hit it from just trying not to shock and blast your database, right? Because if you don't have any real cadence of what you're doing at the pond lead, and it's just a brand new database of no communication ever, no visit ever, you're kind of just doing it by alphabetic order at that point. There's no real way to go about it. But the still thing is, though, is you're trying to get them to come back to your website.
Yeah. And trying to get them to show engage, raise their hand, yep. Right? Show you that they're alive and still even interested.
Yep.
And I think the sooner that our incredible viewers and listeners start to understand, like at least get in there, get familiar with what's happening in your database. Like, bro, like mine is all realtor.com and Zillow leads at 116,000. 90%. Like that thing is like, I spent some money on that sucker.
That's a gold mine. That's my favorite thing to show people is they're a loss of money.
Yeah. And though it's really interesting, like I'm on top of it. I have a big team. You have to be in there. You really do. It's like the biggest lever that you can pull. And John even talks about it. Like spend an hour in the database every day for the team leaders and agents. Yep. Look at all your leads you have. Like, sit there, get your coffee, team leaders too, and sit down at the desk for an hour and look at that sucker. Make your follow-up calls when you need to. Like, it ain't magical. Send some damn text messages.
Yeah. I mean, so for one of our DCM clients, I helped build out, like, four major audit lists for her. Like, the biggest pain points that she'll ever run into in her database of, like, seller audit, pipeline audit, these types of audits, just because I want... When she's in there for an hour, like I said, she's a part of like Reside World and everything. But when she's in there for an hour, she wanted to know exactly what she was looking for. And I didn't want to just tell her, hey, I'm your database manager. You don't need to do it. I wanted to teach her. You know what I mean? I wanted to teach her how to fish. Like, yeah, I wanted her to go in and look and see these things and see these types of things and get familiar with their systems. And these are how you edit the smart list the right way. And like, these are the things you should be looking out for. Because if you're not familiar with it, you're just going to be a blind squirrel just trying to figure it out.
What do you see for emails?
Roughly a response rate, probably around 7-8% right now across all of our teams so far.
Sending searcher or sending other stuff? Or sending like conversion? What is it, like an action plan? Like
it's all catered towards getting a reply. Like all asking questions. Like, hey, like, did you receive our last email we sent you? Or, hey, this is what we're trying to do. Like, we've tried to reach out, like really trying to get a reply, not a value. Or at least the stuff that I've been sending hasn't been, that's the DCM. That's like an ISA working the database, trying to get them to reply.
Sure.
But when it comes to like some of the ones that you guys have set up, like with Reside, those are great for engagement. Those are great for opens and like getting people to click on things and engage with the website and go back to the website and stuff. So like the open rates that we're seeing are insane.
Dude, like my newsletters, I think you heard, like, we had a call with John Sheplag on the Elite on Monday night, and my newsletters are crashing. I need to show them to you. It's ridiculous. Oh, it is ridiculous. The newsletters. and not even real estate.
People don't think about that though. Like, how many people don't have a newsletter or ever send one?
Oh, I obsess about it, but I think you know that. Good. So, what other advice can you give to our? How about to the agents? Agents who have a database solo. Like, do you have any of those clients in DCM?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Great.
Yeah. So, you just got to start with cleaning your database. You got to start with segmenting your own personal database into, like, you just place them into different buckets, different tiers. Like, if you are someone who is a single agent that has Follow Boss, for instance, like, you need to go in and you need to make sure all of your stages make sense to you. You need to make sure all of your automations make sense to you. Just don't get overwhelmed. It's very easy to dump your database of, if you're a single agent, some people have thousands of leads in, as a single agent. Very easy to get overwhelmed and not know where to start, so you just don't start at all. So, I mean, if you just set up your stuff in a right, in this simple format of just...
Simple.
Yes, simple. Simple fixes the complex. So, yeah, if you set up your way to work your system, don't just use your database as like a placeholder for all of your leads. Use it to work. You know what I mean? Set it up to work.
Have a flow, yeah.
Make a flow. Make it work for you. Make it work for you.
Start at the top and finish at the end. Finish at the bottom. Okay, good. Well, dude, that was super helpful. If somebody wants to, like, I mean, I took notes. Like, I wrote some Slack messages to my team during that, dude. Good job. If somebody wants to get a hold of you or, like, hire you, do something, well, what's the best place for them to look?
Probably just email me. You can email me, go to Instagram, go to Facebook. They can message Sunit, and Sunit can get you help.
What's your What is yours? Yes, Sunit at resideplatform.com. That's you and E-T.
He's asking for Travis.
Yeah.
Like, what the hell is this? Oh man, that's great. No, just see. Oh man, don't blow Sunit up. Yeah, just T Halverson at easyhomesearch.com or Travis at resideplatform.com.
Great. Well, everybody, I hope you got a lot out of this episode. I know I did. Seriously, there were some writer downers in there for sure, and implementers. Don't just write them down, implement. I hope you got something out of this episode with Travis Halverson. If you did, like, subscribe, tell a friend, and we'll see you on the next episode of the Reside Platform Podcast.